Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Montreal-based jazz pianist and composer Jean-Tian M.G. We talked to her about her third album, the new 2022 CD Walls of Glass. Her band shares a deep bond that obscures the boundaries between written and improvised material. Early on in her life, while she was studying and performing works from the great classical composers like Bach, Chopin, Ravel, she was beginning to experiment with creating music, seeking an outlet for self-expression. A growing interest in improvisation led her in her late teen years to shift her focus towards jazz. In addition to her artistic career, she is an in-demand teacher that has shared her experience and knowledge with students from all over the world, having been a course lecturer at McGill University and a guest lecturer at other institutions. She has also maintained a private teaching studio for the last 15 years. Enjoy this interview.
I'm good.
Excellent. Thanks for taking a minute out today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for calling.
Absolutely. So before we get into Walls of Glass, I want to know, as a musician, you know, the world of entertainment, especially musicians, were kind of affected differently than everybody else with this pandemic. How did you do during the COVID lockdown, and how did it change you now that we're coming out of it?
I think for me it was an interesting period because timing-wise, it kind of made sense. I mean, obviously, I would have rather not live this thing, but like right when it started, I was starting a creating process, so I was really in a kind of composing mindset. So in a way, it was interesting to have that kind of stop in time and just have all the time in the world to just live with composing and all that. So it was hard, but at the same time, it did contribute to the creative process in an interesting way. And I guess Walls Made of Glass kind of came out of exactly that, those 2 years. And now it's really amazing to get to play, perform again and tour, and it feels especially meaningful to be able to share music with humans after those 2 years, that's for sure.
So talk to me a little bit about Walls of Glass. Kind of how did you put this album together? And as you kind of touched on, it has to feel really good and relieving to be able to release this now with the world waking up and live shows happening.
For sure. I mean, part of my realization while I was writing the music is how much, I mean, yes, we compose and we do music for you know, artistic sake and for expression and all those things, but really, what gives it meaning is to be able to share it. And so, and also performing the music, like, because a big part of this music is in big ways, like improvise, and I really wanted to leave lots of freedom for everyone in the band to really be able to express their personality while performing it. So it's going to be very special to actually get to perform this stuff live.
So this is your third release. How do you view each successive release? Is there a snapshot in time? Are you looking to evolve in a certain way, expand the band, your vernacular? I mean, how do you go about each album?
I really see an album as a bit of a, it's like a picture of the time, right? So I find it interesting. Like, I've released albums maybe every 2 years or so. Like, every time that it's funny because every time I release an album, I feel like, oh, I will never be able to write again, you know, because you really feel like you gave everything you had at that time. But then the nature of the nature of humans, I guess it's then, of course, we evolve and we live new things and we check new things out. And so the process always seems to be naturally wanting to repeat itself as a cycle in a way. And of course, yeah, every release is, there's a something that you can probably hear that is the same band, but I really think that I'm trying to seeking for just something different every time, and trying to, of course, find new sounds and new ways of approaching the thing to really feel like I'm bringing something new every time.
So early on, your focus was, you know, classical composers like Bach and Chopin and Ravel and all of these different names. How did that classical background help you create the voice that you now have in jazz?
I think there's a lot of it is the harmonic, my harmonic concept, like the way I conceive of harmony in general. I think there's a lot of that that comes from that earlier classical language. It's funny because for years and years, it wasn't necessarily even intentional. I studied jazz for years and years, and I'm a jazz pianist. It's like that kind of harmonic language seemed to be stuck in my ears, because I've heard it so much. So I think that's the main thing, I would say, harmony and melody and.
So where were you born and raised? Talk to me a little bit about how your childhood, got you to this point where you're a professional jazz musician now.
So I'm born from a small town in Quebec, Canada. It's like a 5-hour drive from Montreal. I was raised as a classical pianist. I started very early on. I was very serious about it. And in my teenage years, I started to be interested in composition. So that's mainly what brought me to jazz, because I was interested in the idea of creating things from scratch. And when I heard about jazz and improvisation and all that, I kind of saw an entry door towards this kind of more creative path. So that's where I moved to Montreal to study then jazz for many years, college, and then I went to McGill University for many years, and now here I am doing my own stuff. That kind of, I guess, combines all these influences.
Yeah, so talk to me a little bit about the first live jazz show you ever saw that really moved you and kind of made you think, wow, either you love it or you would love to do that someday.
Yeah, I think that the first album that I was listening to was Bill Evans' Portrait in Jazz. I remember listening to Autumn Leaves on that track like all day long. I was just obsessed by that one tune. I don't know what made me so captivated. I guess I know because it's such an amazing album. But I think Bill Evans, has such a special sound, and there's something very expressive, I guess, about I find that specific pianist. So maybe back in the day, I didn't even have ears for jazz or anything, but for some reason that really, really talked to me.
Talk to me a little bit about any other, who have been some mentors for you? It's people that have given you good advice that's resonated to this day that's helped you in your career.
There's definitely, I guess there's so many because we meet so many people along the way, but there's my classical, my teacher back in the day in conservatoire, Jacinthe Couture, she's such an amazing musician, but I remember that most of her teachings were about sound and phrasing. You know, there's some teachers who are a bit more going to the details of things and kind of telling you what to do, and but she was very out of the way and just everything is about those kind of fundamental aspects of music, which are, can you get a nice sound and phrase and really express something through your instrument. So that was very, very, I think, important in my path. And then, when I was doing my master's degree at McGill, I had the opportunity to study with Jean-Michel Pilk. I don't know if you know, he's an amazing pianist who actually moved to Montreal a few years ago. And that was quite life-changing also. Jean-Michel, he's a very, very great improviser and very free. And I think that really opened my mind to feeling more free when I play, I guess.
So what is it that you like the best about being a professional musician? What do you look forward to the most every day?
I guess playing with other people, playing, I think that's part of what I enjoy so much about jazz is the, and improvisation is that when you play with others, it's really, you're completely out of the real world, right? And you just kind of live that moment completely. And so I guess that's what I look forward to the most, and especially performing even more, because then you get not only that you're communicating with the other musicians, but also with the people in the audience who are also listening, and you kind of feel that energy, and it becomes this, those moments are very special. So I guess that's what I live for the most, definitely.
Very simply put, why do you love jazz?
I love jazz because that's a good, actually a great question. I haven't asked myself that because I've been living with this music for so long. I think that the spirit of kind of, there's a spirit of freedom in jazz. There's no, I think no matter what type of jazz it is, there's this idea where I think to receive this music properly, no matter how much knowledge someone has, we really have to be open to the present moment, I think. And for me, like, jazz has been, in a way, teaching me that in my life. And it's just such a powerful art form. And mainly for that reason, I would say. And, of course, there's the details of the music, which are, you know, the grooves, the different grooves that are so amazing. And also nowadays, jazz is so, I mean, it's I find it interesting that it's really kind of influenced by many other genres, and it becomes this very large kind of art form, right?
Yeah, I think Charlie Parker at one point said that it's just modern classical music. That's how he termed jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting because it really is an offshoot of classical. People don't think about it as much, but I think that's kind of the essence.
For sure, and I guess with the addition of groove and like the kind of roots that are a bit different, but that's an interesting way to put it for sure. I find that like we tend to divide the genres on like too much. I don't know if it's because of the schools now, you know, that the jazz program and the classical programs, but at the end of the day, it's all music, and that's what I find so cool about all that.
Absolutely. So, you may have already answered this, but if you could get into a time machine and go back in time and catch any jazz musician live, who are you going to go see? Where are you going?
It would be Miles or Coltrane. It would be hard to choose between both. I'd like to go see Miles quintet from the late 60s. Would be my choice. Yeah.
that's if I could take a poll of everybody that ever have answered that question, that would probably be number one. But I had a feeling it might be Bill Evans as well. You know, everyone has a perception of you: your family, your friends, your fans. But ultimately, you're the one that's living your life. What's your perception of who you are? Who do you think you are?
Oh, that's a very hard question. I think, well, I really believe that who we are evolves. So who I am right now isn't necessarily exactly the same thing as who I was last year and who I will be next year. But right now in this moment, I am someone who loves playing music, who loves a great who loves training, who has an amazing kitty that I love very much, and I have many friends that I love. I guess who I am is a collection of all that, of all the things that I love, which of course include music and all these other things that I named, and probably new things tomorrow.
Excellent. Hey, thank you for opening up today. Thanks for taking a minute out. Good luck with the album and the return to the stage. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thanks for reaching out. It's really awesome.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview. We'll give you a bit of insight into the finest players in Montreal, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. And thanks to Jeantian MG for her time, music, and story. If you want to hear more interviews, visit Famous Interviews with Joe Domino on the iTunes Store. Visit the Neon Jazz YouTube channel, or for everything Neon Jazz, go to thenionjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.